I pray that you be with us now as we look into the Word of God, that our hearts would be encouraged. Help us, Lord, to just be reminded of your goodnesses and how you teach and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Often in our lives, we can't figure out why the Lord's putting us through different things. We say put us through, he's leading us. We do know certain principles that God is always good. And sometimes we have to say that to ourselves because we just can't understand how some of these things are working together. But we know that God works all things together good for those that are the called of his, and his purposes will be done. And God is never wicked. He's never evil. He's never vengeful towards us when we make little mistakes. So tonight, that sort of lays a groundwork. Why then, sometimes, do things happen? Well, Psalms, we look at Psalm 51, and that's not where we're going to be. We're going to be in the next Psalm. But in Psalm 51, we know that David made a big mistake. And through that, he learned the joy of his salvation and who the Lord was. And he ends up in saying, out of learning now that lesson, that God's forgiving, that the joy of the Lord, that the assurance of salvation, and that he says, I will praise you. If you just give me my joy back, I'll just sing it out. The simplicity of a good relationship with Christ is beyond purchase. I think that's what you would say in Psalm 51. Well, as we go the next three or four or five psalms, not every one in a row, but the next three or four psalms, they all touch on hard times in David's life. Let's look at Psalm 52, please, for a moment. If you notice the instructions at the beginning of the psalms, remember the psalms were meant to be sung. So to the chief musician, it says, and then it says, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. And so you say, what in the world is that? Well, you have to go back to 1 Samuel. And remember when David was running from Saul and Saul was on his heels and he had to get out of there quick. He came to the house of the priest Ahimelech and he asked for the bread and he asked for the sword and Goliath, and there was a sneaky little rat of a guy that was in the house that was playing nice. He was like, oh, hi, David, but he was standing and lurking in the shadows, and as soon as David left, Doeg beat it out the door and went and told King Saul, I know where David is, and Ahimelech has helped him. And remember how Saul came down and judged that priest home and all the terrible things. Well, that was a hard thing to go through. And so here David records a very short psalm, and we want to see just a couple things from each of these psalms that David was learning as God was putting him through difficulties. So let's look at Psalm 52. Notice he says in verse 52:1, why boastest thou thyself in thy mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, in lying rather than to speak righteous. Well, we see here that we already explained what Doeg did. He was a mouth that was attacking the work of God. Ahimelech was a godly man, and we already know David is a godly man. And so he says here, verse 2, thy tongue deviseth mischief. You know, the devil knows, he's a slanderer, he's a liar, and he knows how to stir up trouble in your life and my life, just like that. He can start it at work, he can start it in the family, he can start it in church, he can start it in the community. My wife and I, last week, went over to the other side of town, and the American Association of Christian School, they try to get together with different principals, and so we went to this little luncheon together, and they had a man there from an organization that helps organizations when they have a crisis, like maybe a shooter on campus. or there's some sort of a problem in the community that's affecting your church or your school. And as they begin to unfold, do you know what one of the worst things is that can happen to ministries? A wagging tongue. Within or without. And there was something that I learned. Brother Port, you're probably more aware of this, being the electronic business that you're in with switching and all the rest. They can drop an electronic cordon around any business, any college, any church they want for up to something like 4 or 5 miles around. And they can intercept every piece of electronic information that's being exchanged between people. Isn't that, anybody, it's Twitter. It doesn't have to be anybody at your church. They can tell what everybody is saying about Westside Baptist Church or Westside Baptist Academy or Pastor Butts or Pastor Stephen or Jim Byerly. And they can find out. And he began to explain to us that it's not always just that there's an incident that's happened on campus. It's the fallout of the tongues around the campus that are just as dangerous or worse for a business, a college, a church, or a school. And they began to give what their business is how to stop the wagging tongues and how to deal with this and how to know when it's getting crescendoed. And not that we all need to know that tonight. My point is, David felt that from this Doeg. I'd like to leave the E out of Doeg and just say he was a dog. He's just a bad guy. And it says here that his tongue devised mischief. It was like a sharp razor. You ever have somebody cut you with their tongue? Stab you with their tongue? He worked deceitfully. He's a liar. Go down, if you will, please. He learned in verse 6. The Lord's going to take care of him. Now, that's the problem. In verse 6, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that hath not made God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. God dealt with Doeg. But this is what David learned. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God. Notice the next thing. Forever and ever. And then he learned, in the midst of trial, verse 9, I will praise thee. Praise is a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful answer to the work of Satan. And how do you praise somebody for biting you? How do you praise somebody for stabbing you in the back, destroying your reputation? I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name. The second thing he learned, praise and prayer. He learned to praise God and to pray to God and trust God. So that's the first thing we see that he learned. Look at chapter 54, please. Notice the instructions to the chief musician, a psalm of David. When the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? So here David's trying to escape from King Saul. Once again, he's running, and he's out in the wilderness, and he's going around the mountain, and David's on this side, and Saul's on that side, and David slips up into a cave, and Saul just can't do anything to find him, and God's just preserving him. And then here is a group of friends, the Ziphims, that pretend to be David's friends. But as soon as they get a chance, they dispatch a messenger hoping they'll get some money or political influence out of King Saul. Let's see what happens. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, verse 3, for strangers are risen up against me. Oppressors seek my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my help. What did David learn? You can't trust human beings. You can only trust God. Sometimes we put our trust in our human alliances. David says here, God is my helper. He is, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. He learned, second of all, God can even the score. I don't have to. God is the God of vengeance or revengeance or dealing with the enemies. It's not my job to go out and get even with them. It's God that takes care of his own. Verse 6, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. Notice again what he learned in verse 6. I will what? Praise thee. See, that's twice that he's learned. In the time of trial, to learn to thank God for it. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we have to learn is after having gone through something that stripped away a part of our life that let us realize who God was and where our weaknesses were and what it's all about, to just say, God, thank you. Thank you for that bubble in my life. Thank you for that bump in that valley in my life. Thank you. I will praise you, Lord, for it. Chapter 55. Here we find another psalm of David as he's going through difficulties. Look at verse 3. Because of the voice of mine enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So when they cast iniquity on me, they're accusing me of wickedness. There have been times in my life, having done nothing wrong, that somebody insinuated that I had. Maybe in a way that is offensive to even think that I would have done that. I couldn't help but think of Judge Kavanaugh. Now I know he's Catholic. I don't know if he knows the Lord as his Savior. I'm not even going to go that direction. But how would you like to have been Mr. Kavanaugh and just be accused every time it seemed like you stood up, somebody accused you of a dirtier, filthier, vile thing? And it just would seem like all he did is run for office. All he did was a nominee for a position. So this is what he says. They cast iniquity upon me. They slandered my name. They accused me of sin that I, in this case, didn't do. In wrath, they hate me. They not only accused me, but they were filled with anger as they went after me. It was like a dog biting and not letting go. We had a man in our church many years ago as a postman, and he was delivering a piece of mail, and the dog had been left home 2 days without its owner, and for whatever reason, it was just sort of wild, and it came through the front window and came down and took this man down and held him for 45 minutes until they could get the police there to shoot the dog and pull it, and then they had to pry the dog off of his leg. He was in the hospital for weeks and never could return to his mail route. He finally retired just being inside the post office at a chair position. That's sort of how this appears. They hate me and they're wrath. Just chewing on me. They just hate me. What did I do? This is what David could say. I didn't do anything. I'm just trying to be righteous. I'm just trying to be a good friend, a good family member, a good employee, a good student, whatever. What did I do? This is what they would say. Look at verse 4. My heart is sore pained. In other words, it's killing David. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Verse 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. I don't think of David being a man that cowers. Do you? And yet, inside, he's confessing on how all this affected his inner heart. It made him to a point where he was, we would say, scared to death. Look at verse 6. And I finally said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would just what? I'd just fly away. You ever felt that way? How would we say it? I just want to run. I just want to pick up, pack up, quit, get out of here. I don't have to be the king anymore. If I just had wings, I'd get out of here. And I then would be, it says here, at rest. But you know, you can't run from your problems. Did you notice that? I remember hearing somebody when I first got to Houston, and I could identify with this. They said, when you get roaches in a house, you think, man, I'm going to move out of this apartment or this house that has all these roaches. you pack up and you get to this new house that didn't have roaches. When you unpack your box, somehow they slip in those boxes and the roaches just move with you. Did you know that? Then you have to get out the chemicals and kill them there just as much. You can't run from your problems. So, look if you will in verse 12. Here it was multiplied to David. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked under the house of God in company. So who was this guy that attacked David? A fellow Christian. A fellow servant. Somebody that he says, a good friend. He said, I could understand if this attack came from an enemy and he just chewed on me, but the person that we just said takes you down and they hold you down like a dog and they've cast iniquity and they're sullying your reputation is a friend. Boy, David counts that as probably worse than if you had an enemy like Doeg or you had Saul chasing you. This is somebody that I thought I could just tell my whole heart to. He's got my back. So look at verse 16. 16, 17, and 18 are some things that he learns. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. You know, Christians, the Lord will never fail you. Your best friend here at church may fail you. I would hope I would never fail you, but you know, Pastor Butts might fail you. But the Lord will never fail you. That's a tough, hard valley. And you know, I'm old enough to have watched people in churches around our church. There's going to be some things that happen between friends and families, and you can just pick up your tail and quit, or you can trust in the Lord. And David had to learn to trust the Lord. Then he says in verse 17, and we quote this verse. I use this verse all the time in messages. In the midst of that time when he has no other friend, what did he do? Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry out loud. And what does he know? He shall hear my prayer. God is always there, morning, noon, and at night. Now, I'm just reminding you, this is not an in-depth study. I'm just showing you something here. These things that we would look at, highlights of things in David's life, these came at the first part of his life before he was king. God was teaching him out here in the wilderness. God was teaching him when he was running from Saul. God was preparing him for... It was only going to get harder when he became the king, I promise you. So why does God do these things in our life? God is slowly building and working in our life. And if we will respond by trusting the Lord, we will grow. Look at verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace. From the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Look at verse 22. This is another thing he learned in that same lesson. It has to do with prayer. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and your friends shall sustain you. Is that what he learned? Who is the one that's going to sustain and keep us? The Lord. He shall sustain thee. I circled the word sustain, and I circled the word never. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved out of place. There are times that you're going to need that verse in your life. So David's going through hard times. Chapter 56, Here we find David once again. He's running from Saul, and now he's gone to Gath, and the Philistines have captured him, and it doesn't look like, well, this is hard. He's not, no longer is David in Israel. He's down in Philistia, and it's all sort of, to me, I would be sort of confused, Lord. I'm out of my element. I don't understand what's going on. Notice in verse 1, it says, "For man would swallow me up, he fighting," and I circled the word daily. I was under daily attack. Over and over and over and over and over and over, sustained attack. Verse 2, "Mine enemies," I circled again, "would daily swallow me up, for they be," I circled, "many. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." What did he learn? Verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Is it all right to admit that we're afraid? But when we're afraid, we just need to purposely say, "Lord, I trust you. I know you will never." And you know, isn't that what Jesus did? "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He trusted the Heavenly Father. It's a lesson that we learn just the same way. Look, if you will, in verse 4. "In God I will praise," and notice he says, "his word." So he trusted the Lord, but he got in the word of God. It drove him into the word. "In God have I put my trust." It drove him into God. "I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Kill my body, fear him that can touch the soul. David's learning this lesson. Verse 5, I put an arrow back up to verse 2. "Every day they rest my words." Have you ever been, and I have been in this place, that everything you tried to do or say, they twisted, turned it back on you? "They rested my words." They twisted my words. "All their thoughts are against me for evil. They're just looking to destroy me. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps." They would say, they hide and they're watching and they're just looking for me to misstep. They're just waiting for me to give them an answer, a chance. "They wait for my soul." Verse 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle." This tells us that it was such a heavy weight on David that what is he doing in verse 8? He's crying. Have you ever cried? I have. "Lord, I don't understand." You ever been broken? But then he says, I learned in verse 9 not just to cry, but look what he says in verse 9. It's a play on the word cry. "And when I cry unto thee," don't just cry, cry out to God. "Then shall my enemies turn back. This I know." This brought David back to something. He said, I may not be sure of anything else, but this one thing that I know, that I know, that I know, God is for me. See, that's a bad place to be when all you, it's a good place to be. Strips it right down to what really matters and gets us back to the basics of our Christian life. Verse 10, "I will praise his word." Verse 11, "In God have I put my trust." I put a big mark around verse 11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Verse 13, "For thou hast delivered my soul. Thou wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Those that are in my class in school, there's three deliverances. Jalen, what are the three deliverances of God? 2 Corinthians. God has delivered, is delivering, and will deliver. David had to learn that somewhere. That God is a deliverer. We're not going to find that deliverance and understand it until we're in a place where we need deliverance. And then as we see the deliverance of God, it teaches us to do what David learned in here. I know one thing, God delivers. And he's for me. And I can look to him. This is going to make David a very special man of God as he's learned these lessons. Chapter 57, he's in another cave. He says, be merciful to thee. My soul trusts in thee. In the shadow of thy wings, I will make my refuge. Do you know what the shadow of thy wings speaks out to me? David learned to walk in fellowship with God. Don't get very far away from his presence. Start your day out with him. Walk with him through the day. Go to bed with him. Morning, noon, and night. See how David's learning this? He's learning to walk close to God. Look at verse 6, verse 5. Be thou exalted, God, O God, above thy heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He's learning that it's about God and it's not about him. To God be the glory. Verse 6. They've prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. But look at verse 7. My heart is what? Fixed. What does that mean? David knows who he has to hang on to. And do you know when people often get in trouble, they get under pressure, they drop out of church, they drop out of devotions, they drop out of prayer. This showed the heart of David. He'd learned that in trouble, there was only one place to flee, and that was to God. There's more I could learn, but I want you to jump over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Here we find David as he's maturing in his Christian life. And this psalm is more of a synthesis of things he's learned in the past. And now he's just repeating them. So would you try to concentrate and see what he's learning in his life? Verse 1, 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. God answers prayer. Verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. That'll always be my choice. I will always trust the Lord. Look at verse 5. Three things there. Gracious is the Lord. And righteous, yea, our God is merciful. He learned three of the attributes of God. God's graciousness, God's righteousness, and God's mercy. Verse 6, the Lord preserveth, I love this verse. The Lord preserveth the, how many people qualify? We don't understand what's going on. The Lord takes care of us, pretty simple people. I was brought low, and he helped me. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Boy, you want a verse to claim this week? Mark that one. These are lessons of a long lifetime of walking through trials. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 10 expresses faith. I believed. Boy, that deserves a big circle around it, doesn't it? I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, he said, all these different things. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. There's only one salvation. I don't think there's salvation in your soul. There's only one salvation in any crisis. It's the Lord. Why don't we turn there first? That's another sermon, isn't it? Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. God knows our struggles. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Can you see David maturing in his walk? The middle of the Bible is found in Psalm 117 and 118. Look at 117. Oh, praise the Lord. What? There it is. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his mercy, his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You start stringing these together, you see in David's life, and what he is a man after God's own heart because he chose to be after God's own heart. One more verse I would show you. The very, 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 very middle of the Bible is Psalm 118. The eighth verse is the middle of the Bible. What's the heart of the matter? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. How did David learn that? Some hard godly choices. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Don't trust the government. I'm not telling us to be like afraid of the government, but our trust isn't in Trump or Obama or Governor so-and-so. Our trust is in the Lord. I was reading through these things, and it just encouraged my heart, and I really hadn't intended to bring these, but I thought, I'm just going to share those with you. The Lord puts us through hard times, and it's a lot about which way we choose to trust. And what David learned as he made those decisions, it wasn't always perfect. He said, the Lord delivers the simple. But when I prayed about it, when I trusted the Lord, when I let the Lord, I learned that God always answers prayer, and that God is for me, and that God has, can, and always will deliver me. Those are big things to learn. And they have to get in the very woof and fabric of our living. And there's no other way to get them there than to just go through the fire. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we learn a little bit from the heart of David as he learned to trust in you. May we take that lesson and with all of our heart and mind lean into it. Perhaps, Father, tonight there's a family or an individual that's going through a difficulty. May they choose to put their trust in you. In Jesus' name.